Tonight, I'm going to try again to get through this message. And I think I'll be able to tonight. Hallelujah. Speak in faith. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Not going to really do any review, but review is pretty much inevitable in order to teach this. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. And, you know, we've had the Wednesday night message and the message this morning do tie into this. We're talking about God's blessings. In verse 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Well, where it says maketh rich, let's paraphrase that. The blessing of the Lord increases our life, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, the reason I paraphrased it that way is because I want us to get our eyes off of money. Because anytime people see, you know, rich, they start thinking in terms of, you know, gold and silver and cash and all these things. But it's more than that. It's a lot more than that when you speak in terms of the blessing of the Lord. So, the blessing of the Lord increases our lives in all areas, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, with that in mind, it means that everything that God adds to our life increases our life in some way, shape, or form, and there will be no sorrow associated with it. And spoke this morning a little bit of how that we as Christians have a tendency that every time something good happens to us, no matter what it is, we tend to say, well, that's a blessing of God. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, they're holding the little baby and they say, oh, look at this little baby, what a blessing from the Lord. You know, God blessed us with this little baby. Well, let's think about this, because the woman who gave birth to that baby is not married. She committed sin in order to become pregnant to give birth to that baby. I fail to see how God blesses sin. And besides that, with all due respect, God doesn't have a whole lot to do with the, how shall we say it, conceiving of babies the way some people think. In other words, well, go ahead. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 1. You'll see it. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God blessed them. So in other words, God blessed man with the ability to reproduce. When I say man, I'm talking men and women. And it takes a man and it takes a woman. We understand this. So therefore, you can say it like this. When it comes to the whole thing of babies, God's already done his part. He blessed us with the ability to produce babies. Okay? And likewise, in Genesis chapter 1, back up in verse 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and let the fowl multiply the earth," and so on and so forth. So what we see here is that the blessing of the Lord increases our lives, and there's no sorrow associated with it. Then we begin to see in Genesis chapter 1 this whole blessing process. And you'll notice in both of these instances, the blessings were directly associated with what God said. And God blessed them. Well, how did he bless them? He said. So he began to speak a blessing over the creatures. Then he turned around and he spoke a blessing over people. And what he spoke became a manifestation in their lives. Now, look in another place. Turn over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And what's happened? The flood has come and gone. Waters have receded. And in verse 1 it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." Now, right here in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, this is where man became carnivorous. Prior to this, humans did not eat meat. From this point on is when we began to enjoy steaks. Now, for those who maybe question that, go back and read from Genesis chapter 1 all the way up here, and you'll see how that, you know, God blessed man, and he said, you know, eat all the seed-bearing stuff and all this other. Now God has included meat. God blessed us. Now, it says right here, God blessed Noah and his sons. God blessed them. And he says in verse 3, every living thing shall be meat for you. Now, let me just kind of sidestep. You know how a lot of people out there will tell you you should not eat meat? Come on, agree with me. You know you've heard that, all right? I know you guys. Many times you're afraid to say yes or no because you don't know what I'm going to say next. That's okay. A lot of people will tell you shouldn't eat meat. You've got people out there that, you know, want to protect all the animals and keep us from eating them, and man should be vegetarians and so on and so forth. But I have news for you. God spoke a blessing over humanity, and he said, have a steak on me. So it's not wrong to have steak. It's not wrong to have hamburgers. It's not wrong to have, you know, barbecued ribs. It's not wrong to do that, because this is a part of the blessing that God has spoken over humanity. Now, we do understand you can go overboard with things, okay? But just eating it is not wrong the way some people say. Then plus also you have to understand that the meat they were eating back then had no chemicals, had no preservatives. All right, so there's a difference, and I understand that. But to say that we shouldn't be eating meat, that's not true. Because God blessed us to eat meat. Get this. That's a part of his blessings. So every time you sit down to a steak, you can say, Father, thank you for Genesis chapter 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look over, and I'm almost afraid to go to this one. Genesis chapter 12. We visited this passage twice now. And God has taken us in different directions, which is okay. I've enjoyed where he's taken us. But I really believe that tonight we'll be able to move along here. In chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God is speaking this blessing over him. He didn't just say, leave home. He didn't just say, good things are waiting for you. God began to speak these blessings over him. And we saw these things. Well, if you keep reading, you'll see these things in Scripture start coming to pass. And yes, included in this is the establishment of the nation of Israel, okay? I mean, I know this. So, God saw Abram, and God wanted Abram blessed, and he became Abraham later on. I mean, God even blessed him with a name change. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm speaking these blessings over you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to take place. You've got to leave home and obey me for these things to happen, but these are my blessings in response to you doing what I tell you to do. And so he spoke these things over him. Look over in Genesis chapter 25. Praise God, we got past chapter 12. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 25. Verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. Now, we're not going to go into, you know, reading everything that God spoke over Isaac, but it says here that after Abraham died, that God blessed him. Well, what we've seen in Scripture is the pattern of the blessing being something that God has spoken over someone. Look in Genesis chapter 35. And here in Genesis chapter 35, this is where you see the establishment of the nation of Israel. And it's because of a blessing that God spoke. I mean, look here in Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him. Now, what we're getting ready to read here are the blessings that God spoke into his life. Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So here's Jacob who becomes Israel, and he becomes Israel only because God spoke that blessing over his life. And his name lasts even to this day. Only now his name is a nation. But at that time, it was just a name. It was not a nation, it was a person. Israel was a person. Later it became a country. But God spoke this blessing over him. Now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Because I want you to see how that the people in these times took this very seriously. And what I mean by that is, if God spoke something over them, if God spoke a blessing over them, they took it seriously. And then you'll see this here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is just one example. Verse 25, David is speaking and he says, And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house establisheth it forever. And do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house, therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. See this? So, this is just one example, but it's an excellent example, and one of the best, of how when God spoke a blessing, and they knew that God had spoken a blessing, these people took it seriously. And it was their assumption that this blessing is going to come to pass. I may not see it today. I may not see it tomorrow. But this blessing is going to come to pass in my life. And this is one of the things that kept, I'll say it like this, that kept the Jews going. Because if you remember, when Jesus had this conversation with the Jews, one of them, and they were talking about, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, look, I know you're descendants of Abraham. Well, now, why were they saying that? In part, because of blessings that God had spoken. And we know that those blessings that God had spoken, He spoke them into Abraham's life, but yes, they did carry over into the nation of Israel and for the Jews. And see, these folks believed this. Now, you've got to get a hold of this. They believed that if God spoke a blessing, it was going to happen. And it didn't matter how long it took. Because to them, once God spoke that blessing over their lives, they knew the blessing was coming. See, this is one of the reasons why when they were talking to Jesus and they made that statement where he said, if you take my words and go with them and believe what I have said to you, you know, you'll be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And they came back and they said, we be in bondage to no one. Well, see, they knew they were under Roman rule, but according to the blessing of God, they were free. You see this? What God had spoken to them centuries beforehand. So in their minds, they had a blessing mindset. God has said this, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. Now look over in Genesis chapter 48. I want you to see how people took this seriously in their day. This whole thing of speaking blessings. Genesis chapter 48. And Jacob, you know, his name has been changed to Israel. He has a son named Joseph. Joseph begins having his own children. Jacob is old. Israel, Jacob, is old. He's getting near the time of his death. So we pick this up in verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him. And he, Joseph, brought them near unto Jacob, or Israel. And he, Israel, kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his... Now I want you to visualize this. Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head. You see, he's got his hands crossed. He's reaching across. He's not reaching straight ahead, he's reaching across. Guiding his hands wittingly, verse 14, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let thy name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and I bring you again, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the land of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Now can you see how critical this was to their mindset? At the moment this was taking place, there was nothing else going on. You have Joseph, two sons, and Joseph's dad, which was their grandfather. That's it. And Israel crosses his hands, puts his right hand on the younger and left hand on the older. And Joseph says, oh, no, no, it's not supposed to be that like that. You're supposed to speak the blessing over the eldest, over the firstborn. And Israel says, I know what I'm doing. And Joseph was at first troubled by the fact that it looked to him like the wrong blessing was going to be spoken over the eldest and the youngest. And this really concerned him, because he believed that whatever blessing his dad spoke over those boys was going to come to pass. That's how, I mean, right here at this very moment, he saw their destiny being spoken forth. He saw their whole future being laid out simply by the words of his dad. This was so powerful to him, because he had been raised to believe that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He had been raised to believe that when a blessing coming from God is spoken, this blessing is going to come to pass. So when he saw his dad doing what he was doing, it concerned him. It bothered him. Well, today, now think with me. Today, we don't care. I mean, now seriously, think with me for a minute. When's the last time we took our kids to anybody and asked them to speak a blessing over them? Seriously. Parents, how many of you did this with your kids? Listen, don't anybody get condemned over this, all right? What I'm trying to bring forth tonight is a revelation of a scriptural principle that has been forgotten by the body of Christ. I'm trying to get this revived in us. Help us to see this, because God's been showing me some on this. And I'm going to share it with you tonight. Share some of it. When's the last time that we took our kids and had anybody bless them? When's the last time that we asked somebody that we considered to be, you know, mature in the Lord to speak a blessing over the children? Well, part of the problem is you have a lot of... See, you're supposed to be able to hear from God when you start speaking blessings. Because I'm telling you right now, there's a bunch of people out there, I would not want them speaking blessings over my kid. And I'm not going to get into this. You know, I'm not going to go on a side journey here. But one of the things that we need to watch out for is what we name our children. Listen, if names weren't important, God wouldn't have changed it from Abram to Abraham and from Sarai to Sarah. Because He knew every time somebody saw Abraham and they said, "Hey, Abraham," that they were speaking God's blessing over his life. You see this? Every time they saw Sarah and they said, "Hey, Sarah," they were speaking God's blessing. So see, this means something to God. And you've got people today, and again, I'm not going to go way off on this, but you've got parents today, it's like, I don't mean to be mean or critical, but you'd think they've been smoking dope before they name their kids. Weird names. And I mean, it doesn't matter. Now listen, some people go, "I don't know who he's talking about." I don't care what your skin color is. Weird names for kids. It's like, you know, let's get the Scrabble board and shake up the letters and throw them down and see what comes out. Now, I agree. There are some weird names in the Bible, too. I mean, there are some, you know, $20 names. I mean, words that man can't still pronounce. And it's right here in Scripture. But it meant something to them back then. See? Because they knew, I named the child, and from that time forward, every time I speak that child's name, I am speaking a blessing into that kid. Hey, I like my name, James. Royalty. That's part of what the name James means. Praise God. I am a king. Hallelujah. Well, God already said that. But do you see what I'm saying? This is important. I mean, the last thing that you want to name your kid is some weird, goofy name. Why, you know, who would want to name their kid after a disease? You know? I'm not saying anybody, I could stand here, I won't, but I could tell you of some names that some parents name their children that seriously should not be mentioned, well, it shouldn't be recorded, let's put it like that. I need to move on. Hallelujah. And then if you go on into chapter 49 of Genesis, and we won't do this, but Jacob, or Israel, begins speaking blessings over the family. Begins delivering these words of blessing. And see, back then, man, those people, they took this seriously. It meant something to them. They wanted to hear a blessing. They wanted somebody to speak a blessing. And if you go through the Old Testament, you'll see over and over again references and so forth of people speaking a blessing over somebody else. And I want you to, another example here. Look in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And what's happened here, the children of Israel, verse 1, they moved into the plains of Moab. Now just pick it up in verse 5. Well, how can I say this? The head of Moab, didn't like what he saw. And in verse 5 it says, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, the point I want to make is, back then, they believed in this whole thing of speaking a blessing into somebody's life. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole story, but look in chapter 23. I'm not going to read all of this. But in chapter 23, Balak wanted Balaam to speak a curse. Well, God appeared to Balaam and spoke to him. And he said, you speak what I tell you to speak. And Balaam said, okay, I'll do this. And so Balaam began to speak, and he says in verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? And he goes on in this, and you can read the whole story later on, but he opens his mouth and he begins speaking a blessing over Israel. And when he's done, Balak goes crazy. He says, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? I brought you in here to curse them, and all you've done is bless them, and now it's going to go worse for me. And Balaam says, hey, I can only speak what God tells me to speak. And this happens like 3 times. And Balak, you know, he's about to pull his hair out. He can't believe that Balaam is speaking, because, see, he believes that when Balaam speaks a blessing, the blessing's going to come to pass. Well, the end result was, Balaam said, look, I can't curse them, but I'll tell you what to do to mess them up. Just, you know, bring in some heathen women. And it did. It messed things up. But the point I'm making is the fact they believed that when a blessing was spoken, that blessing was going to come to pass. Now look back over in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And look here in verse 8, or 18, I'm sorry. Abraham has rescued his nephew Lot from the bad kings. And they, you know, saved the people and saved the day and so forth. Well, verse 18. Well, back up to verse 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him, Abraham, after his return from the slaughter. And the kings were with him. And verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He says, he blessed him. Now, what was the blessing? Possessor of heaven and earth. See that? In other words, he was speaking, well, this kind of goes back to what we covered on Wednesday night. What he was speaking was the end result of God's plan for mankind. Meaning, the body of Christ. That we would be joint heirs with Christ. That everything would be His, and that we would be joint heirs, possessor of... Do you understand what I'm saying? Right here is a blessing that takes you back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, when God said, let's make man in our own image, let him have dominion over the work of my hands. And then He comes along and He says, blessed be Abraham, possessor. The person who's in authority. Blessed be Abraham, who has been given the authority over the work of God's hands. Well, that carries over. That's a prophecy for us, for the body of Christ. But he spoke this blessing over him. Now, notice that Salem, or that Melchizedek was the king of Salem, but he was priest to the Most High God. Now, look over in, well, I'll tell you what, let me just quote from it. You turn back over to chapter 12 of Genesis. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it talks about how that Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. Now, Melchizedek was a type and shadow of Christ. We understand that. He was the priest of the Most High God, and he shows up and he blesses Abram and speaks this blessing over him. Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse 2, God says, I'll make of thee a great nation, I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, at this point, according to the pattern that we've seen in Scripture, how is it that a person is a blessing to another person? By virtue of what they speak. He spoke a blessing over him. He spoke a blessing over this. Israel speaks a blessing over the children. I become a blessing to you. You know how we talk about, well, you know, they're just, you know, I can say my wife is a blessing to me. And that's true. She is a blessing to me. And by faith, I say I'm a blessing to her. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm talking about here. How can I be a blessing to you? Well, you can preach a good sermon. All right, well, I'll try that someday. How can I be a blessing to you? I can speak these blessings into your life. Because that's what God did to Abraham. God spoke a blessing into his life, and then he said, and you shall be a blessing to the world. Meaning, if remember when Jesus said, if you were of Abraham, you would do the works of God? Well, I'm of Abraham. You understand the analogy here? Because I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and now I'm born again. I'm a part of that family, that nation that God prophesied. And now I can be a blessing. Well, how can I be a blessing? If I don't have a penny to give you, if I don't have a birthday present to give you, if I don't have, you know, a chocolate bunny to give you at Easter, I mean, if I don't have anything, well, what can I do? I can do what God did, and I can speak a blessing into your life that's going to be greater for you than anything in the natural I could give to you. God, now listen, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And again, those phrases, image and likeness, it's not just a matter of let them look like us, but it's let them look and act like us. Well, what was it that God did? God blessed, and he said, and what he said in the blessing came to pass. Now, if I'm in his image and in his likeness, what that means is I'm supposed to operate like him. And if I operate like him, that means that I can take his word, and I can speak a blessing into your life, and then I can sit back, and my expectation is it's going to come to pass. I can bless you by speaking the blessings of God over your life. How many children have been messed up because their parents have spoken curses over them? I mean, from the time they're born, the parents, well, you're not loved and you're not wanted. You were an accident. You were a mistake. That's nothing to say. Maybe you didn't plan on having that baby. My baby's here now. The stupidest thing you can do now is curse that baby with curses. Do you want that baby to be a total failure? No. Well, yeah, but you know, it just messes things up having to raise this baby. Look, start speaking the blessings of God over that baby. Start speaking the blessings of God over your own life. Speak these things. Speak these blessings. Because this is the pattern of God in Scripture. And I'm telling you right now, this is a major reason why a lot of the things, the promises of God that we see in Scripture aren't manifesting in our lives. It's because we're not following the pattern of God. God started this, and God blessed them and said. And God blessed them and said. And when Abraham died, God blessed Isaac. God's speaking blessings to people all over the place. But if we sit back and we don't appropriate those blessings, you say, well, how do we appropriate those blessings? We call ourselves blessed. We speak those blessings over our lives. We don't just sit back and hope. Because see, in the Old Testament, these people believed that the blessings that God spoke were going to come to pass, and they would make reference to them. They would remind people of them. David said, that which you have spoken, may it come to pass. The blessing that you have released, may it come to pass. And you can even see that in the New Testament. Though they may not have said these specific words, may the blessing of God come to pass. The bottom line is, the way they lived, the way they talked, they were making references to the blessings that God had spoken centuries beforehand. And so therefore, they acted on these blessings by speaking these things. Likewise for us, God has spoken these blessings. His word goes forth, it won't return void unto Him. But the principle of the blessing is activated by speaking the blessing. God has already declared it. Now, can two walk together except they be agreed? And Jesus said over there in Mark, believe that those things you speak will come to pass, and they'll come to pass. Have faith in God. What do you mean have faith that what God has said is true and will come to pass? And then you turn around and whatever blessings that God has spoken over you, you speak those blessings. You come into agreement because remember, God has given us the authority in this world. Now God spoke the blessing. I take my authority and I speak that blessing over me because it's what God wants to take place in my life. I speak that blessing over my children. Let me show you what Jesus said. Look over in Matthew. Show you some blessings here. Matthew chapter 5. And remember, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom. He's teaching kingdom principles. In Matthew chapter 5, look here in verse 3. Now these are kingdom... Jesus only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. Therefore, what Jesus is speaking applies to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they'll obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. Blessed are the peaceful. Look at this! It's one right after the other. And see, we've read this and we thought, oh, how sweet, how poetic. Jesus is saying these wonderful things. But what we don't understand is that God gave Jesus a word and Jesus took that word and turned around and spoke it over humanity. And He said, blessed are the people that are in these categories right here. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. So see this? If I come along here and I see myself and it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'm blessed that I'm going to be filled. You see this? This is the blessing of God. I'm telling you right now, what I'm sharing with you is a key to the answer to a whole bunch of problems people are going through in their lives. You know, why is my life in turmoil? I'm supposed to have peace. Speak the blessing of peace, because you're right. God has already blessed us with peace. Now speak it over your own life. I'm blessed with peace. I'm blessed with peace. My life is blessed with peace. Now, let me show you something else in verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus says, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see this? It's God's intentions for even the lost to be blessed. We want the lost to be beaten up, kicked, knocked down, and die. God wants them blessed. You say, well, what about judgment for sin? God wants to reveal Himself through His blessings to draw people to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now look what Jesus says. He says, bless them that curse you. Okay, so, here you are driving down the road, and, some guy doesn't like what you did. Or some guy, he cuts in front of you, turns in front of you, and acts like it was your fault. Yells at you, makes obscene gestures, curses you, your mama, and everybody else. And then, throws something out the window at your car. Jesus says, bless that person. You say, well, how am I going to bless that person? I'll never see that person again in my life. You bless them by virtue of what you say. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless that person with the presence of God in their car right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless that person with dreams of your glory and your love. Father, right now in the name... You see what I'm saying? This is what Jesus is talking about. Because there's no way you're going to be able to physically, one-on-one, in person, bless a lot of these people that do these things to you. And here's what's interesting. It says in Matthew 5, verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name, for my sake." You know what this means? It means all these people out there that have really spoken against me and sermons that I have shared that expose their error, and they come against me, you know what they've just done? They have released blessings into my life. Because Jesus says, if people do this to you, you're going to be blessed. Now that is not a ticket for you to go out and trash me, all right? I want to make sure pastor gets blessed, so. No, that's not what that means. But you understand the concept. Same thing for you. When you take a stand for righteousness, for those things that are true of God, and people come against you and they say bad things about you, that's opening the door to the blessings of God. And you have a right. You have a scriptural mandate from God to be able to stand up and say, did you hear what they just said about me? Praise God. I am blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessings. Come on in. You heard what they said. Listen, think of it like this. There are blessings out there just waiting to invade your life when people start speaking poorly of you. So what does that mean? Stand up for right, what is right, and let them start trashing you. Because when they do, hallelujah, blessings are on their way. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now look over here in another place. Now I'll tell you what. Stay right where you are. Remember in what we've read here in the Old Testament, how that God spoke these blessings? Genesis chapter 1, God blessed and said. And all throughout what we saw, and God spoke, you know, he said and blessed them and so forth. What that means is, all of these blessings that he spoke, they were already inside him. They were waiting to be released out of him. And the way they got released out of him was when he spoke them. Because all of those blessings that he spoke, those were things that are a part of his character and his nature. Now, the moment we get born again, we receive the character and the nature of God. Therefore, because it is his character and nature that we receive, inherent in our born-again spirit are these blessings. They were in God. He spoke them out of his nature, and those blessings came to pass. Now, because we have his life and his nature, in us are these blessings. They are resident in us. The way they get released is when we speak them. As we just like God, in his likeness, in his image. Same thing, same concept. Now, I need to lay a disclaimer. You cannot live in sin 6 days a week and expect Sunday to make up for it all. You understand what I'm saying? You can't live in sin, I mean just outright rebellion and sin unto God, and then expect all these blessings to come into your life. Because sin takes you out of the character of God and into the character of the world. So you need to understand that these blessings aren't just, no matter what you do, you're guaranteed to have all these blessings manifest into your life. But here's some things I want to read to you out of Scripture. And if you want to write these verse references down, you can, because we're not going to take the time to look them up. I printed them out for the purpose of being able to read them to you. And then you can check them out later. But what I'm going to read to you are blessings that God has already spoken over us. And this is absolutely critical for us to understand that this is what he has already spoken over us. Meaning, man, these blessings are there waiting. Waiting for us to appropriate them into our lives. Waiting for us to recognize them as being a reality for us. In Psalm chapter 1 verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So if you're not doing those three things, you're blessed. If you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. You are blessed. God calls you blessed. Now, you may not know this, and you may not have realized that up until now. And it's almost like God has been trying to get across to me that throughout Scripture, especially all these things recorded in the Old Testament where he's talking about the blessings, there's a reason it says blessed. There's a reason it says blessing. It's because God's trying to get across to us there's something about that which has been spoken. And in Psalm chapter 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's me. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. You understand this? Therefore, you know, my sin is forgiven. You know what that means? That means I'm blessed. That means what I can do is I can stand up and I can say, Father, you have forgiven me. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. My transgressions have been removed from me. Therefore, I'm blessed. My life is blessed. I live a blessed life because I'm born again. I'm not who I used to be. In Psalm 32, verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, see, he's not imputing iniquity unto me because I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm now one of his children. I'm blessed. I can call myself blessed. In Psalm 34, 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. See, this is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to trust God in every decision in life, in everything that we do, no matter what it is. If you walk with your own understanding and your own counsel and the counsel of others where God's counsel is left out, you are not walking in this blessing. But as you are trusting the Lord, every day you can wake up and say, God, I'm trusting you to help me with this, that, or whatever it would be. Therefore, I know I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm trusting you. Psalm 37, verse 22. For such as he blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Well, you know what? God says, I'm blessed, and God says, I've inherited the earth. That means, like Abraham, I'm possessor of heaven and earth. You see this? I'm blessed with possessions. I don't know where they all are right now, but I'm blessed with possessions. They're lined up waiting to come into my life. See, you know why this sounds so fairy tale to us? It's because we have not been raised like these folks in the Old Testament. When they heard a blessing of God, they believed it. And now today we hear it and it's like, yeah, well, okay, this is just another hype kind of a sermon, another one of those faith kind of sermons. You know, I bet he takes up an offering at the end of the service, which, by the way, I am. But it has nothing to do with this. Listen to this. In Psalm 41, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. You know one of the greatest things that you can do when you hear that people are struggling is bless them. Is bless them. You say, well, I don't have any money to bless them. Speak the blessing over their lives. Call them blessed. Call them blessed. Call them blessed out of poverty. Call them blessed out of struggle. Call them blessed with possessions. Call them blessed with a job. Begin to speak the blessing of God over them. Let's continue in this. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I've been chosen of God. He says I can come boldly before the throne of grace, that I can dwell in his presence. Therefore, I am blessed. I'm blessed. In Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I am blessed. My life is blessed every day, loaded with benefits. I'm blessed. You know what? I can tell you right now, if we don't get a hold of this, and I say we, I'm talking body of Christ, if we don't get a hold of this, we have no reason to complain to God because we don't see His blessings in our life. We have to come in agreement with what He has said. In Psalm 68, or Psalm 72, verse 17, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, for all nations shall call him blessed. Now this is speaking primarily of Jesus, but I am in Christ. You understand this? I'm born again and I am in Christ, therefore I say I am blessed with the blessings of Christ. You say, well, that's rather bold. Well, didn't God say that I'm a joint heir? And if Jesus has inherited these blessings, then hallelujah. So have I. I am blessed with the blessings of Christ. In Psalm 84, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Right, there's a really good reason to be in church. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. You know what this means? What it means is this. Now, granted, we know this doesn't apply to every church that exists. All right? Little disclaimer there. But what that means is that when you make a decision to disrupt the continuity of your life and come to church, there is a blessing waiting for you just for being here.
Well, what is the blessing?
Well, why don't you show up and find out? I don't know what the blessing is God has for you. But do you see that? That alone should get you excited about being here. I mean, you may think my preaching stinks, but at least come for the blessing. Hallelujah. At least show up because God says, I'll bless you. You dwell in my house, I'll bless you. But then also, we've been made a son of God. And Jesus said, the servant doesn't dwell in the house forever, but the son dwells forever. Therefore, because I am a son, I'm dwelling in the house of God. You understand? As his child. And because I'm his child, I have the blessings of being his son. Whatever blessings come with being a son of God, I've got those blessings. I am a son of God. See, you can make this declaration over yourself because God's already spoken it. I am a son of God and I dwell in the house of my father. Therefore, the blessings of God manifest in my life. I call me blessed because God calls me blessed. I stand in agreement with these blessings because I am blessed of the Most High God. Look over in, just keep listening. Psalm 84 verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them. In other words, I don't do things by my own strength, by my own might. I make a decision, God, I'm going to trust in you and you're going to bless me with strength. You're going to bless me with ability. You're going to bless me with counsel. Here's one. This is a neat one. Psalm 94 verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. I could have done without that one. But here's what this is saying. Let me just kind of paraphrase it. When God somehow gets a sermon, a message, you know, a prophecy, whatever, across to you, and it completely contradicts something you've always believed, that chastening carries with it a blessing. And the worst thing you can do is say, I don't believe that. I want to hold on to my traditions, which render the Word of God of none effect. Well, not only are they rendering the Word of God of none effect, you know what they're doing? They're rendering the blessing of God of none effect. Because with the chastening comes a blessing. In Psalm 106, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Psalm 112, 1 and 2, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now here's a blessing you can pass on to your children. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. God, whatever, in other words, in your obedience unto God, you can turn around and speak blessings over your children. Your seed shall be mighty in the earth. Now, parents, you may think, well, yeah, but my kids are grown and got married and they got kids of their own. Okay, fine. But you know what? It's never too late to start speaking the blessings of God over your children. I mean, I don't see an age limit in here. There's not a little thing that says, except they be 18 or older. No, that's not in here. It says, listen, if you've made a decision and your life has got turned around, maybe you were a drunken bum years ago or a lousy mom or whatever, but now you got your life right with Jesus and you're serving the Lord and you truly want to live for Jesus all the days of your life and you fear God, God says, turn around and speak a blessing over your children. So what if they're so old now that they've got their own gray hair? Start speaking a blessing over your children. It's not too late. They're still here on the earth. Start calling them blessed with the knowledge of God, blessed with salvation, blessed with faith. Start speaking the blessings of God over their life. You say, well, yeah, but how do we know it's going to work? Well, what if it does? I mean, you can't lose. How can you lose by speaking the blessings of God over somebody? What if they don't manifest? At least you were speaking the blessings of God. At least you weren't saying, that stupid jerk kid of mine, when's he going to get off those drugs? That stupid jerk daughter of mine, when's she going to get her life right? Well, you sure aren't helping things too much. You don't think God knows what they're doing? He knows what they're doing. What He prefers, though, is that you speak the blessings of God over their lives. That's what He prefers. Okay, let me just jump on. Because you start reading in the book of Psalms. Every time you see blessed is the one. Blessed is he. Pay attention to that. Because that is something God has already spoken over us. And it's waiting for activation in our lives. Now listen to this. You know how that in the Bible it talks about that we've got a new covenant. And that the new covenant is based upon, it's a better covenant based upon better promises. And the Bible says we've been delivered from the curse of the law. But there's nothing that says we've been delivered from the blessings of God that He spoke. That's not in Scripture. Now, if I have a better covenant with better promises, then the good blessings of God should still be active in my life. Do you understand what I mean by that? Let me read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says, it'll come to pass if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, I've already been set on high. You say, well, how do you figure that? I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the Bible says I'm seated in heavenly places with Him. That He's the head of the church, and all things are under His feet. Okay? So, I'm seated on high. This is really Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. I know that God was speaking to them and talking in part here about the law, but this is also a prophecy about us. Because when the Jews went to Jesus and they asked Him, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, believe on Him whom He has sent. That was the commandment. So therefore, when it says here, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, well, Jesus said, believe on Him whom He has sent to observe to do all His commandments. What's His commandment? Believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. He says, then I'll set you on high above all nations. Okay, now I did that, so I've been set on high. Are you catching the imagery here? Now He says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, I hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've now been made a member of the church. I've now been made a part of the body of Christ. I'm now seated in heavenly places with Him. So, what is in store for me? Blessed shalt thou be in the city and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So I don't care where you live. You can live in the country, you can live in the city. Call your home blessed. Wherever you live, call it blessed. You say, well, I've got all kinds of plumbing problems, and I've got this, and I've got... But call it blessed. Call your plumbing blessed. Call your air conditioner blessed. You say, well, this sounds stupid. It didn't sound stupid to the people in the Old Testament, and they weren't even born again. They believed in speaking blessings over people and over things. They believed this. And again, what's happened in the body of Christ, we have gotten so far away from believing in the concept of speaking blessings that we sit back and we wait for something good to happen. And God has said, but you don't understand. I have already spoken blessings over your life. Now you need to appropriate them in your life. Speak what I have spoken over you. Come in agreement with me. Let us walk together. And you speak these blessings with your authority there in the earth. And you begin to see them come to pass. So then I can say, hey, I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, what he is describing is your occupation is going to be blessed. Start speaking the blessings over your job. Instead of walking in fear, I'm going to be fired, laid off, or you know, whatever else. Start speaking blessings. Listen, if your company's going through a financial struggle, the worst thing you can do is start speaking the financial struggle. Speak the blessings of God over your company. Speak the blessings of God over your job. Speak the blessings of God if you're like in farming, what he says, speak the blessings of God over your farm, over your fields, over your cattle, over everything that you're doing. And begin speaking the blessings of God over these things. And I'm telling you, I firmly believe a lot of Christians have found themselves on the unemployment line because they have not come into agreement with God and spoken the blessings of God over their position. Speak the blessings of God where you are. Do you want to lose your job? No, I don't. Then speak the blessings of God. You know what? There's a whole bunch of people working where you work. They're heathens. They're going to hell. They need you speaking the blessings of God over the company. They need your help. Your boss needs your help. You may not like your boss. Maybe a foul-mouthed old billy goat. But they need you to speak. Who, if not you, who else? Who's going to represent God to these folks? Speak the blessings of God. And where he says here, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Call your children blessed. Again. That's your kids, that's your offspring, call your grandchildren blessed. Remember there in the Old Testament, the story that we read, where Israel placed his hands on the heads of the children, and Joseph said, oh no, you got your hands in the wrong place. That meant something to him. You know one of the greatest things that you can do? Is you get your kids and you get your grandkids and you lay your hands on them and you begin to speak the blessing of Almighty God over them. You begin to speak the blessings that God has spoken in His Word. You say, yeah, but my kids are old and they wouldn't understand this. Then you know what you do? You just tell them, look, you know I love the Lord. You know I'm serving Jesus. You know I'm living for Jesus Christ. You know, however you want to say it to them, and just say, I want your life to be great. You want your life to be great, don't you? Well, obviously they're going to say yes. And just tell them, say, there's something I messed up on. And what I've messed up on is I haven't followed a biblical principle to speak blessings into people's lives because the Bible talks about that. So what I want to do right now, I just want to speak a blessing into your life. And what are they going to do? Punch you in the nose? Come on. They may think it's a little weird. Just put your hand in the name of Jesus. I bless you with long life. I bless you. I speak the blessing of health into your life. I bless your home with protection. I bless your job. And you just begin speaking the blessings of God. Just begin to do this. Yes, but my kids are living in sin. So? Speak the blessing of God over them. And then when they leave, speak the blessing of conviction over them. Hallelujah. Hey, how many of you know conviction is a blessing in its own way? Is it not? It says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now I want to read something else that goes along with this. He says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand to, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it says, the Lord will make you plenty in goods, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord hath sworn to give unto you. The Lord will open His good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in His season, to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the point I'm getting at is this. Start speaking a blessing over your bank account, your storehouse, your basket. Start speaking a blessing over your bank accounts. Now listen, don't get weird and think that tomorrow morning you're going to wake up with $1 million in the account and don't know where it came from. You'll be getting a knock on the door from somebody with a big badge on their chest wanting to talk to you. What I'm saying is, you speak the blessing over the bank account. You say, well, interest rates are really low right now. Speak a blessing over the bank. That's where you put your money. Speak a blessing over the bank. Speak a blessing over your investments. Instead of bellyaching about Wall Street, speak the blessing of God over your investments. I ain't got no retirement now. Speak the blessing of God over the storehouse of your retirement. Do you see what I'm saying? We just don't hear this anymore from the body of Christ. But these people back there, in these days, they believe this. God, listen, They lived with these blessings I'm reading to you. God said my basket will be blessed. My storehouse will be blessed. God said my field will be blessed. God said my cattle will be blessed. They believed this, and that's how they lived. God, you said that my cattle will be blessed. You said this, and you and so they would speak these blessings, and they would believe these blessings. He says in Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shalt thou be when thou come in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You know one of the best things you could do? Seriously? Invite me to your house for dinner? Because I'm blessed when I walk in, and I'm blessed when I go out. I will carry blessings into your home. Hallelujah. You need me. But now, seriously, blessed when you go in and blessed when you come out. We carry the blessings of God with us. Everywhere I go, I carry the blessings of God. One of the best things that I could do, now listen, and I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of having missed all of this in my life. One of the best things that I can do is speak blessings over everywhere I go. When I visit somebody's home, speak a blessing over that home. Speak a blessing over the people. Even if they would think it's weird, do it in the car before I get there, whatever. But to speak a blessing, because I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I walk in the blessings of God. The best thing in the world you can do, us as believers, is hang around people who understand this and they know they are blessed. Because when they know they're blessed, they walk in the principles of blessing. That means I can be blessed just by associating with them. I'm blessed. Listen to what else he says. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. When people rise up against me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with victory. So many pastors, if they would understand this, it could avoid a lot of church splits. Listen, guys. You know, as a church, we want everybody to be here. We want the church to grow. But there are some people that don't need to be here. They've hardened their hearts and seared their conscience to the things of God. And all they're going to do is cause trouble. Now let me say it like this, using this verse as a reference. They have become enemies of the cross. Now not literally, but you understand the concept I'm speaking. And so therefore, those that rise up against, if they rise up against me, you know they're rising up against you. I may be the person to whom the finger's pointing, but they're coming against you too. I mean, if we're one big happy family, you understand what I'm saying? And so it says, you know, the enemies, you know, they may rise up against you, but they're going to flee seven ways. Those people that try to hinder the work of God have become, figuratively speaking, enemies. Therefore, they can flee. I'm blessed with divine protection. We as a congregation are blessed with divine protection. And I'm telling you right now, it's walking in this blessing that has protected this congregation for all the years that I've been here. Not because of me, but because we're walking in this blessing. Now, yeah, I know, I'm not stupid. I know we've had people over the years that every now and then, you know, some folks would, you know, voice, how shall we say it, differences of opinion. And we'll leave it at that. But I want you to look. We're blessed. Now, don't you go thinking everybody that's left this church and gone someplace else is an enemy. All right? Please, don't walk out of here and twist these words. I am not saying that. I'm trying to create an image here. And this standard applies at work as well. If there are people there that, I mean, their hearts have just, I mean, they're disheartened, they're seared, they're blackened and so forth, and they become an enemy of the cross, there's a divine protection for you. See, I've heard a lot of Christians talk about, I want to get out of there, those people, they hate me, they treat me wrong, they don't do nothing right. All right, I understand you don't like it. But have you thought about appropriating this blessing from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7? Have you thought about speaking a blessing over your life, that you are protected, that you are shielded, that you walk in the favor of God? And I haven't taught on the favor of God, but it connects with this. And I got a feeling that, you know, coming up soon, God's going to have me teach on the favor of God. Because it goes right along with these blessings. You know how people talk about, you know, well, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And then we think, oh yeah, well, me too. I'm blessed and highly favored. But there's a principle to that that's revealed in Scripture. I am blessed and I'm highly favored. You may not favor me, but there's somebody up in heaven who reigns forever and ever, and I'm favored of God. And I'm blessed of God. And see, that's a principle for every single one of us. I won't go through the rest of these. Just go ahead and take the time sometime and read Deuteronomy 28. All of these blessings. Because if God spoke those blessings over people that weren't even born again, I'll guarantee you this, He's got those blessings alive for those who are His children. But here's the thing, if we don't speak these blessings, if we don't come into agreement with God, and we don't, you know, the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. You know what I can do? I can stand up and I can call my body blessed with health. I'm blessed with healing. My body is blessed with healing. I walk in the blessings of health. I walk in the blessings of healing. My bank account is blessed. I call this church blessed. I call these pews blessed. I call this carpet, this beautiful carpet, I call it blessed. I call this sound system blessed. I call the people that sit in these pews blessed. I call our services blessed. I call our worship, because that's what God would do. I call our worship time blessed with the presence of God, blessed with the glory of God, because that's what God wants. He wants His glory and His presence to invade our worship time. That's what He wants. So then when we come together in this, we come together in agreement with Him, we don't even have to be here to say this. You can be at home before you come here and say, Father, I just call our worship today blessed. Our Sunday morning, our Sunday night worship, blessed with Your presence, blessed with Your glory, blessed with healing power, blessed with anointing. I say that our pastor is blessed. Whoever is preaching, I call them blessed with an ear to hear Your word. I call their words blessed because they'll be Your words coming out of their mouth. I call me blessed because I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord today. Father, I call those blessed. You see what I'm saying? Now, there are people out there going to think this is a bunch of hype. They're going to think it's a bunch of hooey. They're going to think it's a bunch of that name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. It's not. This is a scriptural principle that is revealed in Scripture that even God Himself lives by. And God blessed them and He said. And God blessed them and He said. If it works for God, and I'm created in His image, and I have His life and nature on the inside of me, I'll guarantee you it will work for me too. And the key is to run with patience. Meaning, I speak the blessings, and I may not see it tonight, I may not see it tomorrow, but I keep speaking His blessings, and you know what? The blessings are going to manifest. Remember, the key is to speak His blessings. You say, well, how do you do that? You get into the Word of God and find out what He has said. Blessed is this, blessed is that. You are blessed because I call you blessed, and so on and so forth. And you know what? This may sound really weird, really crazy. We were talking about names earlier. There's some people out there, it might not be a bad idea for them to change their names. Legally. I mean, why would you want to go around with a name that is a curse? I know this sounds extreme. But didn't God change Jacob's name to Israel? Didn't God change Sarai to Sarah? Didn't God change Abram to Abraham? There's a lot to this. You know, in some cultures, they don't even name their children. In some cases, until the children are like a year or two old, and they can begin to see patterns of character, patterns of personality in that child, and then they name that child. I mean, even today this is true. Now, I don't know where all those cultures are, and I seriously doubt if there are a whole lot of people that still abide by that, but I've read about it. Guys, the blessing of the Lord increases all areas of our lives, and He adds no sorrow with it. Why would I not want to call me blessed? Praise God. God's going to have to work on me to help me remember this, because like I said, this is something that I have not lived by consistently over my life. And I need to do this more. I need to speak it over you. Because you are blessed. God has said so. I need to come in agreement with Him and call you blessed as He has called you blessed. Father, they're blessed with wisdom. The eyes of their understanding are enlightened, and they're blessed with the knowledge of the hope of Your calling. Father, they're blessed with Your life and nature. They're blessed with the knowledge of who they are in Christ. They're blessed with healing. Their bank accounts are blessed. Their investments are blessed. Their jobs are blessed. They are a blessing to everyone they come in contact with. These are the things that God says about us. We need to be speaking them about each other. And so parents, I'm not saying that you have to come up with a 10-page list of blessings. But I would encourage you, speak blessings over your children. No matter what their age, speak blessings over those children. Just speak it. Just keep speaking it. And if you're married, you know, watching this here tonight, whatever you're married and you're expecting someday to start having kids, I would start speaking blessings over those children now. God did. Blessed is the fruit of the womb. You say, but I don't have any. He says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But God, I don't have any. He says, blessed is the fruit of your... You're not listening to me. Okay, God, I call my children blessed. My quiver is full. That's in Scripture. Somewhere. You say, what's a quiver? Sounds like a lot to me. I'm blessed. Praise God. Look at somebody. Anybody. Somebody that's here. And say this. You are blessed. I call you blessed with long life. I call you blessed with health. I call you blessed with peace. I call you blessed with joy. I call you blessed with the mind of Christ. Everything about your life is blessed. Your savings account is blessed. Your checking account is blessed. Your investments are blessed. Your family is blessed. You're a child of God. And I say, you live daily in the blessings of Christ. And we could go on and on. Everything that God has said. You're blessed because you came here tonight. Every one of you. Just because you came here tonight, there is a blessing now in your life. So you could say this, I am blessed because I came to church tonight. And see, guys, listen, I do understand that this sounds, you know, just like a lot of the, you know, pep rally services and sermons we've heard in the past. That's not what this is about. I'm not trying to pep rally you tonight. I'm trying to help you understand there's a spiritual principle that a big bunch of the body of Christ has missed out on. Speak the blessings and receive them into your life. Praise God. Okay, all you blessed people. Stand up on blessed feet, in blessed shoes, that smell like a blessing. Hallelujah.